Our study tonight is out of Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 to 28. Christ as Israel's Messiah, seen in his prediction of the Great Tribulation. Much misrepresentation and confusion has surrounded the handling of Jesus' prophecies in Matthew's chapters 24 and 25. We use the first part of that prophecy to discern the correct framework of Christ's predictions, noting how Christ is seen as Israel's Messiah in predicting the Great Tribulation in Matthew 24, 1 to 28 as follows. You see, one of the big challenges is that as people have read these chapters, chapters 24 and 25 that deal with future events, they've tried to read the church in there. If you read the church, you run into enormous theological problems, and that's what people have done. You get to the point where you don't believe you have eternal security, you believe in the post-trib rapture, all that stuff, and it becomes from reading the church into it. So what we want to do is to look at the context, because the context is very, very important. Context is the words that are written before it, the words that are written after it, what is going on, so we can understand what's going on. So in starting to understand Jesus' prophecy about future events in Matthew 24 and 25, we note its preceding context. Before making his Matthew chapter 24 prophecy, Jesus had said that Jerusalem would have her house, and that can refer either to her temple or the city or the Davidic dynasty, probably all three. Her house left desolate until she accepted him at some time in the future. Let's just reread that. In verse 38, actually I'll start at verse 37. Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto you, how often I would have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens or chicks under her wings, but you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me from this time forth until you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now notice, he's not talking about Christians there. He's not talking about the church. He's talking about Jerusalem. He's talking about Jerusalem not recognizing him, and that Jerusalem's house, her kingdom, her temple, and so forth would be left desolate until she said, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So, there are no chapter breaks in the autograph manuscripts, so Jesus next immediately left the temple in Matthew chapter 24, verse 1. Let me read that. And Jesus went out. Remember that verse, Matthew 24, 1, follows right on the heels of what Jesus had just said in Matthew 23, verse 39. So Jesus went out and departed from the temple. Now his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. What's going on here? As Jesus went, his disciples tried to impress him with the temple building begun by Herod the Great, trying to show him how unlikely it would be for it to be filled as he had just taught. Herod had started building this temple sometime in the past, and it was in the process of being built. It had been, I think, over 40 years or something like that. And it was built out of white, beautiful white limestone, huge blocks, and they were being built up. And it was beautiful, and the Jews were very, very thrilled with it. Herod the Great was an Idumean. In other words, he would have been an Arab, and so he was trying his best as a ruler of Israel to get on the good side of people, and he did that by building them a very expensive temple. And they were very proud of that. And Jesus had just said, your temple's going to be left desolate. So the disciples are trying to say, wait a minute, Lord, this is really an impressive place. Would you really kind of reconsider that prophecy? They're very nationalistic. They're very pro their nation. And they just, the idea of something happening to this gorgeous temple is unthinkable. Well, Jesus countered his disciples' effort to change his grim Matthew 23, verse 38 prediction. And he claimed that not a stone of the Herodian temple would be left on top of another that would not be thrown down. Verse 2. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily, verily, I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Let me hasten to say there are some people that try to say that the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem as being part of the temple complex. You still have stones piled upon one another, and therefore this prophecy wasn't fulfilled. The prophecy Jesus was talking about had to do with the temple itself. The temple was absolutely razed to the ground. That wall there is actually a bit of the old Temple of Solomon that had never really been knocked down, but that was the wall that went around the temple area. It's not really the temple itself. It's kind of like if we had a wall going around our property at Nepogue Church, and the whole church had gone down, but part of that wall had stayed up. That's essentially what the Wailing Wall is. Now, that Wailing Wall, we saw it in 1963 when we toured as we were coming home from Africa, and you have some stones there that are as tall as it is to the ceiling here in the floor, and as wide as maybe coming from this corner over about halfway through to where the chairs are. So that's, you know, pretty big stones. I don't know how in the world they got them on top of one another, but beautiful stones, white. But those go back to the Temple of Solomon, and that's one of the holy places of the Orthodox Jews to this day. But anyway, Jesus had made this prediction, and he stayed with it. Well, shocked by Jesus' repeat predictions about the devastation of their city and the temple, his disciples came to him in private as he sat on the Mount of Olives. And the Mount of Olives is just east of the city of Jerusalem, and it's higher, actually, than the Temple Mount. You have a beautiful panoramic view of the city of Jerusalem and of the temple, which is slightly lower than you if you're sitting on top of the Mount of Olives. Well, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, overlooking the temple site in Jerusalem, they came to him and they asked, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" Verse 3, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world?" Accordingly, this is extremely important. The entire Matthew 24 and Matthew 25 Olivet Discourse, that's what those two chapters are called, that follows, has nothing to do with the church history that was then still hidden from the disciples. You remember Ephesians 3:1-6, the Apostle Paul said, "The church, which was hidden from the ages of the world, has now been known, been made known, primarily through Paul." Paul was specifically given the responsibility of making that known. Now, the church was begun on the day of Pentecost, but even then the apostles didn't know that much about it. When Jesus was getting ready to ascend to heaven, they said, "Are you going to establish the kingdom to Israel now?" And Jesus said, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his hand, but you'll be witnesses throughout the world." So, okay. Well, when Paul comes along, then you have the revelation of the church, which is Jew and Gentile in the same body. That's according to Ephesians chapter 3:1-6. So the Olivet Discourse of Matthew 24 and 25 has nothing to do with church history that was then still hidden from the disciples, according to Ephesians 3:1-6. Rather, it has to do with Israel. Now, armed with this sight, the Olivet Discord reads about Israel, not the church, with no theological complications or error. And Matthew 24:1-28 then predicts the great tribulation period. This is so important. In fact, I've actually had a relative who got tripped up on this and tried to reach the church in verses 4 through 14 and so forth, and was having terrible time with it, and I had to go back and try to clarify this with the relative, and the idea that the church is not there was news to him, and he still struggled with it. We have to keep it in mind. Now, we know that between the 69th prophetic week of Daniel 9:26 and the 70th prophetic week of Daniel 9:27 is the church era, when Jerusalem will face war desolations as she does right now. I'm going back to that passage just to look at it, because this is a preface towards understanding Matthew 24. And Matthew, in Daniel 9:26, "After 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself." That's talking about the crucifixion of Jesus. "And the people of the prince that shall come." The prince that shall come is the Antichrist, and his people are the Romans. "And the people of the prince that shall come," not the prince, but the people, that's the Romans, in 70 AD, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. That's exactly what happened in AD 70. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. That's where we are right now. There is an undisclosed period of time of war and desolations at the temple site. This is why you have the Muslim Mosque of Omar sitting right on the temple site right now. It's a place of desolations and so forth. That's going on now. Okay, then the rapture happens. And verse 27, you start the 70th week of Daniel. The 70th week of Daniel is 7 years. It's a week of years. And he, that's the Antichrist of the people that shall come, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That's a week of 7 years. He's going to make a 7-year treaty with Israel. And in the midst of the week, that's 3.5 years into that covenant, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured out on the desolate. In other words, in the midst of this 7-year period of time, the Antichrist is going to desecrate the temple by setting himself up as God in it. Now, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, Jesus actually refers to this event. In verse 15, he refers to this Daniel 9:27 event that I read. When you therefore shall see the abomination of the desolation spoken of by Daniel, the prophet, that's Daniel 9:27, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in the Judea flee to the mountains, and so forth. So what Jesus is telling us is that by the time you get to verse 15, you're already halfway through the tribulation period. So guess what? Matthew 24, verses 4 through 14, deals with the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Okay? So let me read that. And Jesus answered and said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come. Remember, this is after the church is raptured, and it's during the first half of the year period, or the first 3.5 years. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Messiah, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and diseases and earthquakes in different places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom, notice this is not the gospel of the church, this is the gospel of the kingdom, shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all the nations. And that's by the 144,000. Then shall the end come. Okay, so Jesus' prediction of the trials in Matthew 24, 4-14 regards God's work with Israel in the first half of the 70th prophetic week of Daniel or in the first 3.5 years of the 7-year Great Tribulation. Incidentally, Ryrie notes that Matthew 24, 6 and 7 records the same judgments predicted in Revelation 6, 1-8 of the Great Tribulation that occurs after the rapture of the church in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. So, and this is extremely important, Matthew 24, 13, the reference to being saved by enduring to the end does not teach, as some say, salvation security based on godly living in the church era. See, some teach that that verse says, if you endure until the end, if you remain godly to the end, then you'll be saved. If you don't stay godly, you're going to lose your salvation. That's not talking about salvation. It predicts God's physical deliverance at the second coming of those who live by faith in him in the Great Tribulation. See, as these saints come to know Christ during the Great Tribulation, they're going to have to learn to live by faith. And if they live by faith, God will preserve their lives, so that their lives will be salvaged at the second coming of Christ. It's not talking about salvation of the soul. It's talking about physical salvation in the Great Tribulation. There's a big difference between that and losing the salvation of the soul. Take the church out of it. Church isn't here. This is Israel in the tribulation period. Now, Matthew 24:15 then predicts Antichrist's desecration of the temple. Matthew 24:16-22 details the great trials that Israel in particular will face as Satan in the Antichrist pursues Israel to try to destroy her in the last half of Daniel's 70th prophetic week, the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation period. Let me read those verses, verses 16-22. Then let them which be in the Judea flee to the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe to them that are with child and to them that nurse in those days. But pray that your flight is not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall there be great tribulation. Notice the intensification of the tribulation. Such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, what's going on? I turn to Revelation chapter 12 to explain this. Revelation chapter 12. In the middle of the tribulation period, Satan is cast out of having access to heaven to critique you and me. And he's called the dragon here in verse 13 of Revelation 12. When the dragon, Satan, saw that he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. The woman is Israel. The man-child is Jesus. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle that she might fly to the wilderness unto her place. Many scholars believe that this is Petra, where Israel is going to hide, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. Time and times, that's 3.5 years, the last half of the tribulation, from the face of the serpent, from the face of Satan, the dragon who's also called the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away in the flood. See, Satan never got over the fact that God drowned the Egyptians in the Red Sea, so he's going to try to drown Israel with his own Red Sea. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, that's with Israel, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. There were Jews in other places of the world besides just the nation Israel, so Satan is going to go after them. The reason Satan wants to do annihilate the Jews, Satan particularly is anti-Semitic, is if he can destroy the Jew, then God cannot fulfill the Abrahamic covenant. If God can't fulfill the Abrahamic covenant, God is not God. So Satan wants to destroy the Jew. He has always wanted to annihilate the Jew because of that. And this is why we are pro-Semitic. Now, Jesus then warned Israel through his disciples in verses 23-27 of Matthew 24, to avoid being deceived into following false messiahs at that time. That's at the second half of the tribulation. For the coming of the true Messiah at his second coming will be as the lightning that shines out of the east, even to the west. In other words, there's going to be no doubt about it. Let me read those verses. Verse 23 of Matthew 24. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Messiah, or there, don't believe it. For there shall arise false messiahs, false prophets. They will show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the elect. Behold, I've told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, don't go there. If he's in the secret chambers, don't believe it. For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And then Jesus adds another signal. In verse 28, he also alluded to the vultures gathering to eat flesh. And that's a reference to the battle of Armageddon that will occur just as he comes to the earth in his second coming. And that battle is predicted in Revelation 19:11-21. Notice verse 28, for wherever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. The signal of the second coming of Christ at Armageddon. So, the preceding context and Paul's Ephesians 3:1-6 declaration that church history was yet prophetically unrevealed indicate that Jesus' prophecies of end-time events in Matthew chapters 24 and 25 deal with God's work with Israel, not the church, leading us to see Jesus in Matthew 24:1-28 as predicting the Great Tribulation. See, the next time God starts to work with the nation Israel is after the church is raptured, the Great Tribulation. He's going to work with her to get her to repent concerning Christ. And then you're going to have a remnant in Israel that will repent just as Jesus Christ comes back to earth. And then with a repentant Israel, you can have the Messianic kingdom. And through that, the blessing will spread out to the world. So we need to trust in Jesus as the Messiah and the Son of God who will bless the world when Israel repents about himself, that's about Jesus, as a result of the Great Tribulation. Then may we view Matthew 24 and 25 as God's predicted work with Israel and the Great Tribulation and Second Coming that occur after the church is raptured.